left off yesterday, just trying to determine what exactly is the nature of this halacha that appears. We find it both in Maseches Gittin, we find it in Shabbos, about Ksivish Enosha Kayama. So we had a lot of different possibilities flying around. What's the nature of this halacha? Is this rooted in the parasha of Shlok Yederech? That's what the Rashba seemed to say. Is it more rooted somehow in Melachas Bachsheves? Somehow more of a Shabbos to Gittin? And we're not quite sure how it slips over into Hilchos Gittin also. So a lot of this discussion now comes to a head when we begin to analyze other malachas on Shabbos. Things which are not ksiva proper. Does this halach of Einam is Kayyama says it spill over as well? So one Rishon said for sure, and that was of course the Rambam, because the Rambam's entire theory about ksiva she'enam is kayyama was basically in sync with Tzaveya she'enam is kayyama, Tzviya she'enam is kayyama, and for that matter other malachas as well. And at least according to some, the Rambam may have actually gotten Tzaveya from Tziva, or even if he didn't literally derive it from Ksiva, but it seems to be following the same pattern. The Rambam has the same idea that just as the Mishnah says about Ksiva Shehenu Miskayem, it's not derived, that Tzvi Shehenu Miskayem is not derived either. Now, it is based on this that the Rambam then goes on to make his very, very significant statement on Maisa, where the Rambam has a limitation on how to understand Pshat in the Gemara that appears in the 17th of the Maamar Kamis. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, V'chein Rabbi Shimon Allah Zohem Yishum Rabbi Eliezer, Isha lo sav esrak al panel, Yibnei Shatzavas. A woman should not put, literally paint, I mean coloring on her face on Shabbos, because this is a violation of the Isser of Tzeveya. So basically a woman shouldn't put on makeup, but eyeshadow, anything that colors our face in any way whatsoever, that would be a violation. So the Rambam, when he codifies this halacha, so we can already begin to be bedayig from the Rambam, not only what he says, but where he says it. So if you know the Rambam of Shabbos well, you'll immediately notice that the Rambam divides up the Shabbos into two categories. First, he goes to the Lamates Melachos, there's a lot of other things, but he has the whole Lamates Melachos, and he pretty much sums up the dinim that are deraisa. And then in the later prokem, bad, 10 prokem later, Chav Beis and Chav Gimel, he goes through pretty much balacha by balacha, and he tells you, referencing what he said earlier, this is a deraisa, therefore you can't do the following derabbanans. And he lists off all the derabbanans per balacha deraisa. So the poskim are very, very attuned to this placement of the Rambam, because when you find any given halacha in the earlier prokem, that's usually a dead giveaway to a deraisa. When you find the later prokem, that's pretty much a dead giveaway that it's only a derabbanan. So the Rambam is consistent with this theory, with the way he presents Tzeveya. The Rambam in the 18th of the Maamar Kamis had Tzeveya me'avos belachos. So the act of Tzeveya itself is an av, and therefore it's going to be chayim, and that's what he spoke about earlier on. Lefikach, therefore, also li'ish la'av esrach ha'panep b'nei shehi kitzeva'as. So it is clear from three rayas brurosh, and unless Judas, that the Rambam Shita is that putting on makeup is only in his derabbanan. Number one, from the placement of the Rambam in Perek of Beis, which is clearly the Derabbanan Vikar place. The fact that the Rambam uses Lefikach Asur, Asur is always a lashon that's used to describe a Derabbanan, Potav al Asur, never the word Chayiv is always used for Deraisa. And the third is a Kitzavas, like Tzavas. The Chof Adimian say it's like it, but it ain't it. If the Rambam meant that it's the real thing, so then he should have said, Mipnei Shehit Tzavas, what is Chaya because what is Tzavas. So we have three rayas from the context of the Rambam, from the word Osir in the Rambam, from the Chafadim in the Rambam, the three Edim Namonim that the Rambam Shita is that putting on makeup is only an Issa Derabbanan, the worst only an Issa Derabbanan. Why should that be so? Why isn't it an Issa Derais of Tzaveya? So the answer most probably is because it's lacking Kayoma. Because just as the Rambam said that Ksiva needs Kayama, and Tzeveya needs Kayama, and everything needs Kayama, and that's how the Rambam went in the Mishnah, in Shabbos, about Kosh, in Malach, Kebis, B'Shabbos, it's Chayiv. So therefore, putting on makeup will fall short in terms of that dimension of Kayama. So it seems to be pretty poshut. The Rambam said it, by Mever Srach, being in the Rabbanan. We understand why the Rambam said it. Everything Shalom I saw with the Rambam. However, notwithstanding the Rambam, the Rabbi Shem, disagree with the Rambam, the Smag, I think Adel HaRisham with the Bali HaToysus, disagrees. The Smag also wrote, according to the Seder HaMitzvahs, and the Smag lumps together Losaver Ishapanel with Chiyav. He basically presented as being Chayav. It's real. It's real Tzav. It's not Kitzav. It's real Tzav. It's the real McCoy. Why should that be so? What is the Bira Dover in the Shittas HaSmag? So clearly, what's going on, Bidas Asman is as follows. That there is no klal of Malachas Shalkeyam. That was a made up rule. The Rambam made it up. Where did the Rambam get it from? He got it from the Mishnah Shabbos, that quite frankly, Rashi said doesn't even mean that. Remember, we spoke about this 2 days ago. That cryptic line of the Mishnah Shabbos that says, "Kolos Malach Malach was Kiyabas B'Shabbos is Chayav." So, whereas the Rambam saw that as the source for the parsha for the Tanai of Kayam of Al Malachis, Rashi already said B'Shabbos Ha'Oisa Malach Koy, that the word B'Shabbos there is not even referring to Kayam. The phrase there Kayam doesn't mean our Kayam. It doesn't mean permanence versus temporary. It's a product of Machmir Patish describing, did you finish the job or not? Kayama means there's nothing else to do, says Rashi. So that Mishnah has zero bearing on any discussion. There is no din of Kayama. But wait a second, what do you mean there's no din of Kayama? Doesn't the Smag have to explain away there is a din of Kayama after all? But Shabbos is a din of Kayama. My Kaysev is a din of Kayama. You can't argue with the Mishnah in Perak HaBayin. The Mishnah says the Kaysev, the Mashkir, Mishapayrus, is Potter. So there clearly is a din of Kayama, at least by Kaysev. So why does Tiveya part ways from Kosev, according to the Sheet of the Smach? According to the Rambam, it doesn't part ways. It's actually the model for Tiveya. But according to the Smach, why is it part ways? So the Acharim explained, the answer is very simple. That the Smach must have learned that the root of the Halacha, that Kosev, the Inish HaKoyom, is Potter, is ultimately because of Shalom Kederach Tikka Halacha. Not all that different from who Rabbi say? From the Rashba. What the Rashba told us yesterday, tucked away in Perek HaKisvei, in between the lines, the Acharonim write, the Smag is clearly holding. And therefore the Smag held, there is no independent halacha called Kayama, never state anywhere in the Shabbos that you need Kayama. Kayama is a way of measuring, is it normal, is it not normal? Okay, so then you have to go Malacha by Malacha and ask yourself, is it normal to write in a Enosh HaKayama manner? So what did the Rashba say? That's silly, because what's the goal of writing, to get the message down, recorded for history. So who in their right mind would ever write with chicken gravy? You'd be a nutcase to write with chicken gravy. But when it comes to Tzeveya, so can we say that the person who is doing Tzeveya in a non-permanent manner is crazy as Meshuggah? A woman is putting on makeup when she goes to shul, Shabbos morning. So she's crazy, she's nuts. The makeup's going to be gone by lunchtime. So what? She doesn't care. Couldn't care less what she looks like at lunch. She cares what she looks like in shul. So if for the next couple of hours, it's daika bekach, lahavis rakal paneha, how could you turn around and say, no, you potter, because it's not a deraisa, it's not your kayama. What are you talking about, says this man? Natural kayama is not a point there independently. Natural kayama is simply a manifestation of lav kederach. So when it comes to lav kederach, you have to be done every single case. Is this normal? So the answer is to play tic-tac-toe and chicken gravy is meshuggah. To put on makeup Shabbos morning for 2-3 hours is not meshuggah. And therefore, the Smag understood the Gemara in Shabbos that says, l'fikach isha lo sabbos rakha p'nebe Shabbos, that means a deraisa. So this is not my discovery. Everyone already, this is a chayodim already. Everyone already put these pieces of the puzzle together. That the Rambam is l'shitosoi, the Smag is l'shitosoi, everything is amakom yav b'sholom. Everything is perfectly, everything is wonderful. According to Rambam, there's an independent halacha. According to the Smag, it's much more b'shlok yederach dika halacha. So Rabbi say, even naniach that we pass like the Rambam, probably most of the later poskim pass like the Rambam. Me the Issa d'Rabbanon nafka, it's still an Issa d'Rabbanon, Isha, it's a fair Gemara, Isha l'savar, Shrachal Panem Shabbos. So there is a very, very cryptic line in the Tshuva of Rav Moshe, where it's about 3 lines, where Rav Moshe seems to present the following line of argument, that we already have a precedent for this idea in Hilchos Shabbos, that there are some halachas that lend themselves to kayama. Everybody agrees to, besides kosev. One of the halachas that lends itself, here we get the ear on it, one of the halachas that lends itself to kayama is the halacha of kosher. Now, part of the reason why I didn't respond to the email is because I responded to the email, okay? And I got a very, very intense halachic lamed shalima from Mr. Olpe yesterday. So, I tried to respond. And by the way, Melech HaMashiach appears in the Bava Kamad of Samach also. Inside. But the reason why you didn't put it on your list is because there is the strangest place where it appears l'chumra, not l'kula. That's why you left it off. Okay? Mr. Alter just gave me the list of places where it appears. So, comes... comes Rav Moshe and says, if you, as I say, I'm putting this into Rav Moshe. L'moshel, the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos, Ve'eluk sharim shechayim alel. If a person makes certain ties, certain kesher on Shabbos, yechayev skila. Other ties, the Gemara says, are asim in the Rabbanan. And other ties are mutal lechatchila. That's the line that the Mishnah gives us. Chayev, potev alosa, or mutal lechatchila. And then the Gemara goes on to fill in the details and tell us the following three, four ties are their Isaac ties. The middle tie is only their Abundika tie. And the following tie is a Mutlech Chila. And the Mishnah is assuming, the Gemara is assuming that you are a Boy Scout and you're a sailor and you're a donkey and camel driver and you know which one of the knots meet those categories. So the Gemara never bothers telling us what the Klolim are. The Gemara just gives us two or three examples and assumes we can figure it out on our own what the Klolim are. This is one of the great difficulties in learning Talmud Bavli. The Rambam already made this observation in his introduction to Mishneh Torah. The Rambam writes that one of the great, great difficulties, one of the many, many great difficulties in learning Gemara properly, one of the great difficulties, says the Rambam, is that we do not live in Babylonia in the 500s. That's the big problem, says the Rambam. And therefore, we don't understand the nuances of the language, and we don't understand the nuances of the culture. And therefore, sometimes when Chazal describe things, they're working with the assumption that you know what they're talking about, and you don't know what they're talking about. So the Rambam already bemoans this. The Rambam only lived 600 years after Chazal. And the Rambam says, even people who still speak Aramaic, not too many people, the Rambam they didn't speak Aramaic anymore, but even people who still speak Aramaic, the Rambam says, it's a different dialect of Aramaic. It's 700 years older. Look at the difference between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. They're only 200-300 years apart, and they're legamri. They're almost like different languages. It's like Lahavda, like you know, try to read Chaucer English, try to read Shakespeare English. You know, try to read English from the 1800s. There are differences, there are nuances. The language is developed, cultures develop. So therefore, the Rambam writes that it's very, very hard for us to know, to pinpoint exactly what Chazal meant sometimes. You need a lot of work, a lot of sentence, a lot of misur, a lot of understanding. So this is a classic example. The Gemara gives you a few examples, thinking that you know everything about sailors and donkey drivers in Babylonia in the 500s, and we don't know anything about these things.
It's not what you think.
Huh. No. There you go. Okay. That's a great... call that a nut by nut. Okay. Or nut by nut. Okay. So, almost on there already. Okay. So comes at least one opinion, Rishonim. For our purposes, we're just going to focus on this opinion. Comes Rashi and says, the answer to this question is, which deraisa, which rabbanan, which are nothing, is all a question of permanence. Because the Mishnah uses the phrase, yanida kesha shel kayama. So there's super duper duper shel kayama, there's mediocre shel kayama, and then there's really, really not shel kayama at all. How much are the three categories? Rashi is solid. Rashi doesn't know how long that is. Rashi just gives the categories. Then the later post can fill in the details. Some say 7 days, some say 24 hours, whatever. Those are nuances already. I in the email. Those are details. But the tzur of the aloha, the basic format, structure of the aloha is that when with Paskin Rishayla based on Kayamus, so there's super permanent, there's quasi permanent, and there's not permanent at all. Now, why doesn't that Mishnah shed light on all of the Shabbos? If that sugya talks the language of Kayama, why doesn't that serve as the model for all malachas? So the answer is that not all malachas are the same, because the very nature of the malach of kosher is, what rabbis say, what is kosher? It's a connection. That's the point of a kosher. It's taking two different entities, two strings, and tying them together. So it could be that malachas, that the essence of the malacha is a chibur, dik malacha, those malachas lend themselves to the parasha, to the sugya of shel kayama. Those malachas that have nothing to do with the chibur, so maybe not. It could be that kosev is a chibur type of malacha, depending on some of the things we said. It could be tzoveya, may even be almost like a chibur kind of a malacha. It could be tofer, maybe a chibur type of malacha. So they may have certain malachas that do lend themselves to kayamos, but that's not our discussion right now, the other 35 malachas. So within kosher, we do have this model of very kavua, quasi-kavua, and not kavua at all. So Ramesha almost makes a reference, doesn't say this exactly, but makes a reference to this, that maybe within the malachas of Kosev and Tzeveya, which according to the Rambam are following the same lines of reasoning, maybe there's also their super duper duper Kayama, and that's their Aisha. There's quasi Kayama, and that's their Rabbanan. What are some examples? So the Mishnah gives an example about writing with a fruit juice. That's a quasi kayama. So it's enough to slap you the nisim derabbana, potl v'losur. Or in the parallel malach of tzeveya, what would be a good example according to the Rambam of a quasi kayama? Ishlo saver sraka paneh b'shabbos, putting on makeup. But maybe, says Rav Moshe, there's a lesser of the three. Maybe there's a third category of a tzviya she'enem is kayem is klalu klal, something like a kaisha she'enem is kayem klalu klal. So Rav Moshe says, im tim tzolayim, we could dig up that category. Assuming that category exists, so then we may have a precedent to say that such a tzviya may actually be mutal lechatchila. If it's mutal by kaisha lechatchila, maybe it's mutal by kaisha lechatchila, maybe it's mutal by tzviya lechatchila. So Moshe throws it out again in that 1.5 lines. So Moshe throws out the possibility that maybe it's tzviya she'ena shechayav klal klal is okay. If that is correct, then it would probably behoove us to guess as to what that shear is. How much is ena shechayav klal klal? Because now we're talking the language of being mutter. It's important for us to know what that is. So Moshe is silent on that. He doesn't fill you in on how much that is. Some would suggest, if the model is parallel to kosher, so take the biggest chumrah in kosher. What's the biggest chumrah? The biggest chumrah in kosher, 24 hours. That's the biggest chumrah. Rambam quotes that opinion is the biggest chumrah. Any not less than 24 hours is not shechayav klal. There may be other factors in outside. I'll leave it at my umans. I don't want to talk about that right now. But just in terms of the definition of kayamas, less than 24 hours, it's hard to believe that's any degree of kayama whatsoever. So if you put all the pieces of this puzzle together, that the basic reason why Ishal Savas Racha Paneh B'Shabbos is lowered from a deraisa to derabbanan is because of Enesh HaKayama. But we're still stuck with the Yisra derabbanan of Enesh HaKayama, and we're willing to extend the cool that we find by other malachas of being mutl gamre, and we're willing to borrow the number that we may be in for some interesting coolers here. That Ishal Savas Racha Paneh B'Shabbos, when that Sraka is going to last for what? For a nice amount of time, at least a day, whatever that shear is. Whereas a very, very, very temporary kind of a makeup, maybe mutter. Now, I'm going to be honest, Rav Moshe doesn't spell out 24 hours in that half, 1.5 lines of tshuvas. Rav Moshe throws out this possibility, seems to throw out this possibility. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said he never heard of such a thing. So we don't have any precedent whatsoever to make up this category. This category. If Chazal said, there is no... there is no cutoff point. Even Sirach for 10 seconds is a problem with the Rambam.
What's this amount of shear in time for tying a knot? Most, I mean, every knot that you tie it lasts
24
hours.
No. So this gets a little bit tricky because by kesher, by kosher, that's what I was alluding to in my response to the email, it didn't happen yet. By kosher, it's called Enesh HaKayama even if it's not going to fall apart by itself. Even if you plan on untying it, that's also enough to be called Enesh HaKayama. That's not enough to declare a Ksiva Enesh HaKayama. Let's say, LaMashal, I write something that I'm planning on erasing. That's not called Ksiva Enesh HaKayama. But if I tie something that I'm planning on untying, that's called Ksiva. That's called...
you need to do like a bunch of things altogether, make a very complicated
knot. Well, okay, so you're touching on a lot of other things about kosher. I don't want to get sidetracked with, okay? Anyway, so if I say... so the bottom line is, the seems to be machlekes the Gedalia Pesach of last generation, Moshe Shlomo Zalman. We're going because around. If you go like the Smag, there was a deraisa. There's no categories. There's no third category. There's no second category. Everything's deraisa. Ish lo savik. There's no kula whatsoever in Tzeveya. Whatever is normal is dark. Like women do it. Then it's misah deraisa. End of discussion. All makeup is chol Shabbos deraisa. But if you hold like the Rambam that makeup is probably on the chol Shabbos derabanan, then you have machlekes and Moshe Shlomo Zalman. Is there any case where it falls short of even being derabanan? It's based on this 1.5 lines of Rav Moshe that was unclear what Rav Moshe said and unclear what the Shia was and unclear whether we should follow it, that an entire industry came into being. Anyone know what the industry is called? Shabbat makeup. Called. Its official name is Shabbat. Okay? So, or Shabbos. Shabbos or Shabbos makeup. So the entire institution of Shabbos makeup that was patented by somebody was the Talmud of Rav Moshe, and it was all based on this basic principle. So, now again, I'm not a mumche in the realm of makeup, so I defer to better other members of the Sobolowski family who know a little bit more about it. But I was informed by some of my experts, but one of my experts per se, that there's not all that much of a difference between the Shabbat makeup and other kinds of water-based makeup. They're oil-based makeup. Apparently, the oil-based makeup lasts longer than the water-based makeup. So if you think that the lumdus of the kula is based on Ramosha Shtipa Torah B'dasa Rambam, so then you probably don't need to buy the Hamish Rebeka. If you think the kula is based on the fact that it says the word Shabbos on it, that's why it's mutter, then yes, you have to buy the more expensive Hamish Rebeka. So we'll leave it at that. I will share with you though, what? It was a statement of information. So, Lefiani is daiti. If a woman can get away without putting on any makeup on Shabbos, I definitely think that's the more correct thing to do, because Ma'aseh Shalom Zalman Tehem is for sure also, and Ramosha, there are those who question whether Ramosha has said exactly what he was saying. I don't know how they question exactly. It says it in the Tshuva. I mean, it's three lines.
It says on their website that it's following the guidelines set by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. I don't know if that's what they have in big letters on the front up there.
Matt, it's following that one and a half lines of the Tshuva. I don't know. I think Ramesh did say it, but there are others who are not so sure that's what Ramesh meant. But again, so those who can do without the makeup, Matov Manoim, or those who cannot do without the makeup, so they should try to get makeup that's very, very, very temporary. Whether that means they have to invest in the Shabbat makeup series, or whether they can go with some other kinds of water-based makeups that probably are not all that different. So when you get married, you can discuss this with your wives, or probably one of those things better not to discuss anyways. Although I will tell you something interesting about the makeup, which you can either think I'm crazy or you can think it's Kavaldic. So I'll just share with you one thing. It just dawned on me in Pashas Miketz. As they were laying Pashas Miketz, all of a sudden I had this flash in my mind. Again, you can either think I'm nuts or you can think it's a phenomenal pshat. It's your choice. That I remember I'd once seen, you know, you look at the pictures of the mummies, Egypt. So they usually have on the outside of the coffins, they have the face painted. And if you take a look at the men, the paros, the pharaohs, so it's very, very obvious. What? You look at their face. Their face is little goatees, you know. One thing is very, very clear. What is it? They all wore makeup. And if you read about ancient Egypt, I'll tell you that it was common for the men to wear makeup in ancient Egypt. That was Derecha. I don't know. Again, in America, it's Derech HaNoshim, and therefore it's a derais of LaYubash, but in Egypt back 3,500 years ago, so then we are not discussing any issues related to that right now, but in Egypt back 3,500 years ago, so then it was apparently that was the norm. So I don't think it's crazy, I don't think it's epicurious to say that the Yosef, as the second in command in Egypt, probably dressed like the royal Egyptians, and therefore most probably had makeup on. If that is the case, then all of a sudden, Pashas Miketz dawned on me the following. When the Torah says that after Yosef, you know, hears the story, he meets his brothers for the first time, and he doesn't, you know, they don't realize it's him, and he gets all emotional, so he starts to cry. And it says that when he meets Binyamin, he really starts to cry a lot, and then he goes inside. What does it say? V'yichatz panav. It says that he washes his face and he comes out. Now, last time you cried, did you go run to, after the Sanatayki, if you want to go to wash your face, go wash your face for. Your face gets, dries up right away. But if you're a girl and your makeup starts to run, then you run to the bathroom to go wash your face. So Yosef's makeup started to run. And he realized right away that his brothers are going to see him and they're going to chop that there's something, that he was crying, there's something fishy going on. So he went to go wash up his makeup or something. Again, you can think I'm crazy, but I thought it was an interesting thing. No? What do you think, Mr. Olti? Like that one? Put that in your list of interesting things. Right? Something you would tell me, right? We're good? We're still friends? Okay. So basically, back to our regular program over here. So there is one or two last nekudos in our sugya that we have to explore. Going back to the world of Gittin a little bit, just to put the final touches on this Ksiva Shedem Kiyama story before we move on to the next sugya. So Shulchan Aruch in the 19th of the Ramah Mekoymus writes the following: Lo yit nedel ad shetishabei shaksiva chsimi yofe. You have to be careful when you even get to a woman that the ink should dry. It takes a little bit of time, you know, the old days. The ink's got to dry up. So the writing should be dry, the chsima should be dry. Because if it's not dry yet, so then it's easily finagling. You can erase it a little bit, no one's going to realize. And that's a no-no. To have a ksav sheyachol is daif, that's terrible. And therefore, you better make sure that the ink is dry. It shouldn't be a ksav sheyachol is daif. Now, some of you may remember back from last part of Azman, And what's so gefelach about Ksav Shrei Yochel is Daif? No, who remembers? Stop Nuch B'Toychoi! According to Rabbi Meir, it's possible that I said, we don't have any whole like Rabbi Loza. Halach Rabbi Loza begin to. You don't need Nuch B'Toychoi. And therefore, we pass it like B'Chacham Achshirin. B'Chacham Achshirin are what? Al Diftaram, Noam Mochok, remember that? That was Toysus Rai. Who remembers Toysus Rai from that? The Mishnah says that B'Chacham Achshirin, B'Chacham says it's Mutlech Hatchila to write on the Dovah Shechel is Daif. That was the Rai that what? That takana wasn't a real takana, it was just good advice. That you don't even need chasima. Even with Rabbanon, you don't need chasima. Which is a good idea, not a requirement, not made in Torah. So therefore, says the Chagi, doesn't know what Shulach talking about. He said, we paskin, not like Rabbi Meir, paskin like Belozer. And therefore, just make sure they're in the Mesirah. If they're not in the Mesirah, then you're going to have trouble. But make sure they're in the Mesirah, inshallah, by Yisrael. So the Chagi suggests that maybe the Shulach is not presenting this correct. Maybe that's not the correct reason why you have to make sure that it dries up. He quotes a Mordechai. The 19th of Mamakam, second level. Is it Mordechai Kosovo, Loshan Mishnah? For Chodavishu Kayama, Kanye Shli Zoher, Shlolite and Getle Ishak Shulach, Shoeno Shok Kayama, Adkan Lashainai. Not because of Yochel is Daif, that's the wrong pshat. That's not the chisar, that's not the deficiency. The problem, if you look at the sources, the Mordechai, the real problem is because it's Eino Shel Kayama. What does that mean, Eino Shel Kayama? New Rabbi said, we have a problem here. What's the problem? We've been saying this already a few times. How do you define Eino Shel Kayama? Let's say I write a get with gewaltig ink and wonderful ink, and I'm planning on erasing it next week. That's called Eino Shel Kayama? That's a joke. What does Enosh HaKayama mean? Something not that I'm planning on erasing, but what? It's going to what? It's going to disappear on its own. If I write in chicken gravy, its fruit juice is going to evaporate, it's going to be gone. So the definition of Enosh HaKayama doesn't mean I'm going to be maser it. It means it's going to be Husa Me'elov. That's like Milsna Pshita Noid. So what in the world is the Mordechai talking about? If you write in wet ink, what, it's going to disappear by itself? No, it's not. What's going to happen to it? If you leave it alone, what's going to happen to it? It's going to dry, become regular good ink. So what does the Mordechai mean? So the Chaykin explains a little more. Kloimar, ki ilu kosa b'mashkin, sheba oide lach b'kal yoche lahosi adio, v'lo yeri shimon nikar. So it must be that the Mordechai is a gewaltig chiddush, that he is extending the definition of Enosh HaKayama. Enosh HaKayama doesn't just mean that it disappears by itself. Anything that can easily disappear with a very, very, very little bit of work, tiny amount of effort, that's also a shtickle Eino Shel Kayama. So there are three dargas of Eino Shel Kayama in Halacha. There's something that it's perfectly permanent, nothing's going to happen to it. If you leave it alone, nothing's going to touch this thing. And if you try to touch it, it's going to be impossible. You have dried ink. Go try to erase ink. You got to go take a razor blade and scratch it out and work on it. Elbow grease, you got to really be able to work on it. So that's called Kayama. I was planning on doing that. That's called Kayama. That's Chayav and Shabbos. That's a get. That's not a shy. The Eino Shel Kayama of Chazal, the Mishnah, is something that I'm going to sit back and do nothing. It's going to be mainly going to disappear into thin air. That's Eino Shel Kayama. This is a new category. This is somewhere right in the middle. This is not too Kayama, not Eino Shel Kayama. This is Goldilocks, right smack in the middle. Not too hot, not too cold. It's not going to disappear totally by itself. On the other hand, it doesn't need too much scratching and working on it. So the Mordechai is a chiddush gadol, does call the Eino Shel Kayama, and that's where the chumra of the Shulchan Aruch comes from. So the way the Shulchan Aruch presents the chumra is not the correct reason, says the Chakas B'Chagig, but the correct reason, taka makes sense. So says the Chakas B'Chagig, Abba Zoy, that's true. The Ev Shalayma, the Eino Rag Zihirus. Says it could be that the Mordechai didn't really mean this as an absolute halacha. The ein lomer degate and get come up mashkin. Don't think that at the level of the arayis the Mordechai was extending the definition of Eino Shel Kayama. Tim can have a little flug of the day less of the diolach. Which kosher the kolshkein? It should be a mistake. The kolshkein the mashkin. What's his raya against those who want to argue that it's a real din? If it's a real din, the arayisa. What's very misleading then? What's misleading? If the Mordechai is right, that there's a real din derais, and this is also part of the Hagdar of Eino Shel Kayama, new fangled after Eino Shel Kayama, who's in Akasha on? The Lashon of what? Who's he talking about? The imken havale lefluge b'didei. Who should have a lefluge b'didei? Anyone? What pesecht are we learning now? No one brought a gemara gittin in. Who's the havale lefluge b'didei? Who should have said this? Who was responsible for teaching us this halacha? Who should have taught us this? The Mishnah. Good morning. The Mishnah should have said it. The goal of the Mishnah is to tell me, why are we learning Gittin Daf Yotet? Everyone noticed we're learning Gittin now? Everyone forgot we're learning Gittin, right? We're learning Shabbos, we're learning Gittin. We're talking about putting on makeup, we're talking about Maseches Gittin. So the Mishnah says in Gittin, Ein Kaisvin, Kol Dovah Shein Hashem Iskayim. So the Mishnah gives you an example. Mashkin, Mei Peiris, Ala Guta Zachad Ein Hashem Iskayim. If I was writing the Mishnah, thank you, what would I have said? If the Mordechai is right, Medina, what should I have said? And don't you dare and give a get with what? With wet ink. Because gevalt shrigan, that's terrible to give a get with wet ink. So says the Chaz B'chayke, from the Lashon HaMishnah, from the fact that the Mishnah gave you two extreme examples of category three. Remember we said there are three categories. The Mishnah picked on category three and left, deliberately left out category two. The reason is, and you see from this Mishnah, that this Mordechai thing is not true. That between you and me, it's the whole thing is not true. Aye, the Mordechai said, it's a hero's b'yam. Why not? Another chumr is getting. Why not? What's the big deal? More chumrs. We like chumrs. But me'ikar adin, the whole thing is l'chayin d'vamiyam. It's not true. Because the definition of enosh chayam is what we thought it was all along, namely, only something that disappears on its own. So here, we're dealing with the potential deraisa here. We have this middle category. Is that in the Hagdar of Enosh HaKayama? Is that called Shokhayama? And the lesson of the Mordechai is that it's a big problem. And the Chavis B'chayik tones it down and says it's not such a big problem. What do you think that it should be? Do you think it's a big problem, a little problem, or no problem? What's your take on? I write something with wet ink, and some of that's no good. So I understand. If who's right? No? Fill me in the gaps, no? If the whole basis of this halacha of Enosh HaKayama is a throwback to why it's a subcategory of what? What did the Rashba say it's a subcategory of? What did the Smag say it's a? Shalai Kederech. So, sorry, we cannot accept your get with wedding. You know why? Because that's Shalai Kederech. How am I supposed to write? That's what I took a quill, put into my ink. Well, that's how I write. That's the norm everyone writes this way.
It's Shalai Kederech giving it.
Who says that Shalai Kederech are giving it? We want to be done with the very best of Siva not. So Bishlam, a guy goes ahead and writes with orange juice on a piece of paper. We look at the guy and says, you're a cuckoo. You're a nut. You're a single nut, a double nut. You're a mama, you're a sugar nut. Get lost. You write with oranges. You're crazy. Oh, you're crazy? Doesn't this gang Siva? Why? I'm like, Tal, Maisalach, yes, Bishir, a whole round of Dal, Shalai Kederech. Do miss the sugar nut. Abar. The guy writes with wet ink. Can you imagine? I go up to a guy, he's a sofer, he's been writing with wet ink, Sifrei Torah, for the last 50 years. All he does all day is write with wet ink. Everybody writes with wet ink. And he goes and he writes the get. L'shaim, ish, l'shaim, ish, l'shaim, yesh. And he writes the wet ink. And somebody looks at him and says, Tos is nish siva mu'ermet Torah. You know why? Because, du bist meshugana. You know what he would respond? Du bist meshugana. You're crazy. You're the nut. I'm not the nut. So for the fact that the Mordechai may have said this as a real din deraisa, Chavis B'chayki didn't believe it, but it may have said it as a din deraisa, this is clearly not going down the root of nuts. This is a different story, Legamri. So what is it? What kind of story is it? It's not a nutty story. What is it? Don't pin on Melechus Machsheves. I'm talking about Gittin. You're talking about Melechus Machsheves. So what could it possibly be? Assuming the Mordechai really meant it. The Chavis B'chayki didn't believe he meant it. But I'm not so convinced that he didn't mean it. I'm not so... I didn't lose too much sleep of the Raya for the Mishnah. So what kind of halach would this be? It's not a chisorn of Kederech. What is it? Remember yesterday we had a third way to teach up. What was the problem in Ksiva Shein Shokoyama? It's like Ksiva. Ksiva by definition means it's got to be Bechub Yachad in a normal fashion. It's got to be something that's connected to the top of the ink to the paper. That does Ksiva more material. Why? Why is that so important? That because ksiva has to be something that's going to last. Why? Not because if it doesn't last, it's shulik yaderech. That wasn't the din, like the Rashba thought was said. Why? Why does ksiva have to last? Because that's what ksiva is. Why else do people write? That's the whole purpose of writing. The whole word ksiva and halacha means something of some permanence. So that's what the Mordechai is saying. You're right. That when you put that ink on the paper, you're a normal guy. I'm a regular normal guy. But you have not yet created the chalois of ksiva yet. Because any ksiva that is so easily tamperable with, it is so easy to erase, you could just take a cloth, a napkin, and wipe it off and shine. How is that going to serve as your diary? It's not your diary yet. It's not called your diary. It's not a shame ksiva till it dries. So if you're going to give the get now before it dries, you're not crazy, but you don't have a ksiva there. State in the Hilgitaya, the chosim, does nishkin ksiva. So if you take the Mordechai seriously, not like the Chazal who mach the vek, the Mordechai is a chumra, the hiris b'yam, but if you take the Mordechai really, really dead serious, this would put the Mordechai on the other side of this story, highlighting more about the shame ksiva rather than focusing on keder. So you can really begin to see this chakir that we've been thrown around for the last 2-3 days, what is this all about? We have these dinim, in the Shabbos, in the Chizgitin. And where does this come from? What is this all about? Are these dinim of Shalak Kederach? That's what the Rashba seemed to say. Is the Shabbos part linked to Melechas Machsheves? That's what the Rambam seemed to say. Is it somehow Nish Melechas Machsheves? Nish Shalak Kederach? Was it some kind of something unique about Ksiva? Of course, if that's the case, then Lav Dafka has any relevance to Tzeveya. Maybe it does, it's hard to know. There's a lot of things flying around that all seem to be coming back to, it's a Mishnah. We just read a Mishnah. What did we learn so far? We just read one Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "V'lo b'chol davar she'eino miskayem." But we can't pin down what the nature of this halacha is. And until we pin down with clarity what the nature of the halacha is, it's hard for us to know how to use this Mishnah outside of Gittin. What's included? What's the shear b'davar? Is it a daily shear? Is it a monthly shear? Yearly shear? Forever shear? It's hard for us to answer the intricacies of this halacha until we understand what the nature of the halacha is all about.
If this is true that wet ink is not even a real ksiva, how could there ever be eidim that it was written? I mean, as let's say the sofer is writing it, the eidim can never testify that it was actually written because there's no real ksiva, it's just wet ink.
The
eidim are just.
I mean, you said it's like in Kisa, you said funny.
The Edom are signing that the husband said he wants to divorce his wife. And that's what they did.
I mean, the whole thing is that the Edom are there seeing the sofer writing it, and therefore that doesn't really mean anything. It's just wet ink, and it's not even a ksiva.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Isn't there like some sort of method that the sofer had, like scraping off the words off the cloth with the blade? After it's dry, they have like a blade that.
Yeah, you could do that, except that's good. You're not allowed to do that. There's a din of that's called chaptoichas. We're gonna get to that hopefully later on.
Well, would that leave like a?
There's much more serious problems using razor blades and gittin and sefer Torah is a disaster.
If you write something 2 minutes before Shabbos,
hang in there, okay. Hang in there. You said it.
You say that it's kind of coming from an angle, instead of temporary ink, it's about having ink that's already permanent?
That means this Mordechai is adding on to a definition. It's not, according to the Mordechai, it's not just the ink that you use, the temporary ink. It's permanent ink, but it hasn't permanentized. Whatever that word is. Yeah.
It's not permanent yet.
Right. So by saying, unlike Chas B'chaykek, there are some Achrayim who took this Mordechai very, very seriously. And pose the following phenomenal challenge. So Elijah started to pose. The case wasn't 100% right, but it was 85% right. So I'm going to quote you anyway. Says Michas Chinuch, if this Mordechai is right, we have to go back to the drawing board on that one, the drawing board of Shabbos, and ask ourselves the following question. I take my wet ink, take my quill, stick it into my ink well, and start to write 2 letters. The Kaisim Shabbos Deyesius. Give me a good word with Deyesius. Shame. Shame Yishmuel. That's where the Sefer Shame Yishmuel came from, because the Gemara says, HaKos of Shame Yishmuel Chaim. So it's Shame. Shin Mem. So the guy writes, Shin Mem. And they take him out to the base of Skila. Yechayev Skila for that. He was just Kos of Osius. Kos of Bezos. Shabbat is Chaim. Loch the Reis of Kos of. I want you to tell me on the timeline when he becomes Chaim. He wrote it at 1:57 Shabbos afternoon. I shouldn't say that. He put wet ink on the paper at 1:57 on Shabbos afternoon. It dried at 2:12 on Shabbos afternoon. At what point is he chayev? According to the Mordechai, is that chayev to 2:12? Because for those first 14 minutes, it wasn't ksivia yet. Right? I mean, again, if you think the Mordechai didn't really mean it, he didn't mean it, but if you think he really meant it, so he's not chayev to 2:12. Okay, we're not killing him till after 2:12 anymore. No one's killing him at 1:58. Now let's move it up a little bit. Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock. Whatever that means, don't have it. Shki, it stays. I'm davening by Rav Yudavi Minchi, he's eating Shalashuddas, he's still making Giddish, he's still making last night's dish. I'm not interested. Well, whatever time you think Shabbos ends, not when you personally think, when the halacha says Shabbos ends. But Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock. So the guy, at 5:53, puts his pen into the inkwell and puts it onto the paper. Kumt Shabbos, the end of Shabbos, 6 o'clock. Shoin Baruch HaMavdil, La Malka, starting. Everyone's ready. And that's why we've got the strumming away. In the Kyoshiwasi, Elio, and we're all good to go. And the ink is still up. Still wet. 6:03, when some shul's bar was over already, started at 6, over 6:03. Okay? So at the ink dries. So I don't think he's chayim on Shabbos. You know why? He didn't write on Shabbos. The act of the Melechus Kesev wasn't chal till 6:03. So he's ready. It's Shabbos. Ready. It's Shabbos.
We see that's because of the chibur.
When you answered the question before, he put the ink on the 1:52 and it dries at 2:03. When's he chayim? Just give me a time. I'm not asking you for your theory about life. Give me a time. Good, very nice. So he wrote at 5:52 and now it dries at 6:03. What time is he chayev? He's chayev skila at 6:03. Really, good morning. It's Sunday. Thank you. You don't have to. You my case. Okay? So says the Mechaz Chinuch. Says the Mechaz Chinuch. Game's over. Shabbos over.
How did I apply to other
Mechaz? Hang in there.
Maybe.
A lot of things we got. Yeah, similar question. Yeah, good. Same you also, yeah. Hang it. So, says the Michas Chinuch, this is not the only melacha we have, but there is a delayed mechanism built into the melacha. There are other melachas that I do my ma'isa and then I go to sleep. And the malacha kind of happens along on its own. Give me another one. Give me a parallel one. Bishul. I put up an egg to cook. How long does it take to cook an egg?
7 minutes.
I have no idea, but it's the same shear as a yichud room. So the yichud room is 7 or 8 minutes. So I don't know how long.
But you have to peel it also, though. 5 and a half.
So a person puts an egg to cook at 1:52, and it's cooked at 2:03, a very, very long yichrum. 2:03, the egg is cooked. At what moment is he chayev? It's not cooked yet. Whatever cook means, Bechamin, whatever you think cook means, the third, I don't care. 2:03. Even though I'm not doing anything at 2:03, it doesn't matter. It's a kosev. I wrote the letters at 1:52. I went to sleep. And at 2:03 comes, I become chayev skila. So too, I put up the egg at 1:52. I go to sleep, go down mincha, 1:52, 2 o'clock mincha. By 2:03, I'm done. And by 2:03, it's with Chris Adaira. And 2:03, I'm done. And the same guys don't say v'itlecha. And come to 2:03, I become chayev. Says mechasich, it's almost a parallel thing. It's the exact same thing. Now let's move it to the end of Shabbos. Okay, I puts up an egg to cook at 5:52. and it becomes cooked when? At 6:03. What's the din? Says Bechas Chinuch. You know what the din is? You know what? Potter. Enoch in Abed. Stach a potter. So he stayed in Bechas Chinuch. He's potter.
What follows the end?
What
about before Shabbos?
Good question, but wrong. Because if you put up something to cook for before Shabbos, so you can't be chayav in Shabbos if you didn't do a ma'aser. That's impossible. You know why? Okay, so not a cash. So he stayed in Bechas Chinuch. So wait. So the Bechas Chinuch by Kosev is not such a chiddush. He's just replicating what he said by Bishul. His chiddush is that the Mordechai is right, and the chiddush is the Mordechai really means it seriously. But if the Mordechai is right, so then the Bechas Chinuch's application is not crazy. It's the same as Bechas Chinuch's Bils de Peshitta by Bishul. So let's follow this to other malachas. Okay? Anyone think of any other malacha that has a similar, I do an action, and then it takes a little bit of a delayed mechanism until it occurs?
Kira
and Anocha. There's a Maisa. There's the Maisa Kira and the Maisa Anocha. So when I finish the Maisa Anocha, I'm Chayef. Kosher? What's kosher? Kosher, I do the Maisa. It's a Shogun.
You said if you have for over 24 hours.
No. That means if I make a type of knot that's going to be done that way. No. Who said it?
Saraya.
Okay. Saraya. I plant a seed. And nothing happened yet. I threw a seed into dirt. So is ma. When is the Gemar Malacha? When something has to occur, what is that something? Probably Hashrasha. When it takes root, that's like in Kol Tarkul, that's considered to be the Mice of Zariah. So I plant the seed at 1:53 on Shabbos afternoon, and it takes root when? Wednesday, maybe, or maybe 2 weeks later, depending on how long you think Hashrasha takes. So wait, I don't understand. Last we checked, Shabbos is only what? 24 hours. Unless you live in New Zealand and it can be 3-day Shabbos. Shabbos is what? 24 hours. So I understand. Lamites Malachis. Hazireya. How is Zireya? Vichayev. Ever Chayev. Every Zireya, the Ashrash happens after Shabbos.
Malachal Zireya is not for the produce, like not for the actual plant to actually come out.
Oh, so what Zach is telling me is what the Bechas Chinuch answers and says, obviously, Zareya is the Chiddush for them. Zareya is the Yetzim in HaKlal. Zareya is, how do I know it's Yetzim? Because that Malach was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chiddush Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Zareya, Koytzim, Amidah. Zareya is one of the love of Tzim. Chiddush Baruch Hu knew that it's going to take more than 24 hours for it to take root. So you see, clearly that Zareya is the Yetzim in HaKlal. The malacha of Zereya is what we didn't think it was. It's putting a seed into the ground that will potentially take root at some point. That's malacha Zereya. So if I put the seed in the ground at 1:53, when am I chayav? At 1:53. Not a second later, 1:53. So Bechas Chinuch says, don't bring me a raya from Zereya to Bishul, to Kosev, according to the Mordechai. Obviously, Zareya is its own chiddush. Avad and Avad is Zareya's its own chiddush. Says the Minchas Chinuch, based on what I'm telling you, the Minchas should do the following halacha. The Gemara says at the beginning of Shabbos, let's say a guy takes dough on Shabbos afternoon at 1:53 and he sticks it into the oven to bake. It takes 2-3 hours until it bakes up. It's going to bake, be done at 4 o'clock, before Shabbos is over. And he takes a nap, and then all of a sudden at 3:30, you know what, wait a second, I don't want to be chayav skila tonight. Let me get that dough out of the oven. So the Gemara is clear that he's not chayav. If he got that dough out in time, he's not chayav. Because the mice, the malacha, never happened. Whether or not he should or should not is a different story, because with Dias HaPas, removing dough from Ravan is Nisad Rabbanon. So that's a very long Nisad Rishayla. Should I do a Nisad Rabbanon to prevent myself from being Chayef Skila? So that's already not for now. But it's clear from the Gemara that if and when you yank that dough out before it reaches the point of Bishul, before it reaches the point of Afiyah, that's going to be Mafkiyah, that's going to be Misalik, your Yisra, Chiyav Misa. Says the Mechaz Chinuch, what's the din according to the Mordechai Bet Kosef? A guy wrote ink, wet ink at 153. At 202, it's scheduled to dry. And at 159, he quickly washed it all off. What happened? It's good to go. According to all the other show, maybe it's Chayv Moichek. But according to the Mordechai, he saved his neck. Is that Chayv Skila? Because according to the Mechaz Chinuch, Kosef of the Mordechai, again, assuming that's true, that the Mordechai really meant it, Kosev of the Mordechai is the halach equivalent of Bishul and Afiyah of Chazal. That the moment of the Malacha is 202, the moment of the 203, the moment of the Malacha is whatever it is, the later point. And therefore, two halachas emanate from that assumption. Number one, if you yank it out before the Malacha reaches fruition, you're potter. And if the Malacha reaches fruition on Matzoy Shabbos, you're taka potter as well. And there's only one malacha that's the exception to that rule. And what is that? Zareah. And let's say you did Zareah at 153, and then at 154 you pull the seed out. It's still chayev. Because once we redefine that malacha Zareah is 153, it's got to be 153. Otherwise you would never be chayev. All Zareah would be potter. Pulling out the seed, there's a lamal of lamayrid. And afkamin ladina. And no joke, Nafka Mina, the guy's eating watermelon with seeds, the old watermelon. Used to have seeds in it, right? Nice and gracious, right? The old watermelons, the dark seeds. So guy's munching on his piece of watermelon, and he spits out some of the seeds into the ground on Shabbos. So Gavalti gets so nervous, I just did Zareya, and it's going to grow a watermelon tree, let me quickly get the seeds out. You know what the Mechasino says?
Take them out.
What would the Bechus Chinuch say? So you're done already. It's too late. Too late. You violated the Rehan. You have skill already. You finish your watermelon, you're going to kill you tonight anyway. You're done. Forget if you move the seeds now, you have tiltal mutza. So the game's over. Because the Bechus Chinuch said, it's got to be the game's over. Because any malach that has a delayed action, when the result of the end of the malach that happens, but say Shabbos, that you're potter. Gotta be that way. The svara's gotta be that way. And therefore, Zareya clearly is the exception to the rule. And therefore, that din that appears in Bishul by Afiyah and the Chassidus extension to Kosev does not spill over to Zareya. So the Chassidus develops this whole shtickle Torah that Zareya is in its own world. Does it matter that the Malacha reaches fruition on Matzah Shabbos because the Etzim of Malacha is the act of Zareya proper? There's nothing you can do to salvage Zareya. Once it happens, it's done, it's history. And the other two malachas that are on there, in their own world, is Bishul for sure, and Kosev according to the Mordechai. That's how the Mechaz Chinuch sizes up this sugya. Comes the Rashash in Masechet Shabbos and says, no. And the Mordechai is right. Let's take the Mordechai seriously. Let's go down the root of the Mordechai. Emes, now it's Mechaki. Bishul and Kosev. And Zareya are all the same. There is not an iota of difference between these three malachas. These are all examples of malachas that I start the process, and then there's a delayed mechanism built into the malacha. And that's okay, and that's fine. Aye, but in Zareya, it's not, the delayed mechanism isn't happening until after Shabbos. You know what the Rashash says? What he says? Who cares? The din of Chul Shabbos means your asiyah has to be on Shabbos. You did a loisasekah malacha. The malacha be'elav is not happening until after Shabbos. Once it happens, noch Shabbos, it's this goyel muslim that goes back to yashas asiyah. When that seed catches root in 2 weeks from now, 3 days from whenever it happens, we go back to you and say, excuse me, lemafra yechayef for Chul Shabbos. Not because you're chayiv at that moment in time. Your chiv is totally the oimed if and when it reaches fruition. And if it reaches fruition, even if it reaches fruition on Nachmatay Shabbos, that's also the chayv of the mafreya for Shabbos. Because your asiyah happened on Shabbos. So whereas according to the Bechaz Chinuch, the malacha has to occur on Shabbos. According to the Rashash, the asiyah sagavra has to occur on Shabbos. And the mail of the malacha will be the siyaches is back to the asiyah sagavra. But Zariah is no different from anything else. And therefore, you know what the Rashash says? What emanates from this Yisrael now? What's the next step of the Rashash's argument? Once you just connect the dots, the Michas Chinuch split the two, separated Zariah into its own world. The Rashash says it's all the same thing. No? Let's before we get to wedding, let's go to the easier case. Bishul. I put an egg up a minute before Shabbos ends. And it becomes cooked from Malav Malka. 10 minutes later, what's the din? I'm chayev. And now, according to the Mordechai, I write wet ink late in the afternoon, and it dries up after Shabbos. What's the din? I'm chayev. Because unlike the Mechaz Chinuch who said that Zareya is the Yetziv in a klal, Rasha says, no, Zareya is the klal. Zareya teaches me this Yisoid, that it was never necessary for the end game to occur on Shabbos, as long as the Ma'aseh Odom occur on Shabbos. What Gevaldika Kula comes out from the Rashash?
There's a drought, or that's it's not cooked, then you wouldn't be
high. You can undo it. Because which malach does the Gemara say you can undo? Which malach does the Gemara say Pemal you can undo? Bishul, the Gemara says Beferish. If you're ready to the Pasach, amen. If you're ready to the Pasach, you yank the Pasach out of the oven before it becomes baked, that's Mafkiyah the Chiyuv. So unlike Mechaz Chinuch who said, that's a din by other malachas, not by Zareya. According to Mechaz Chinuch, no. According to Rashash, no, it's not. It's by Zareya also. And if you pull the seeds out, you can taka undo the malach as well. Because there's nothing unique about Zareya. According to Rashash, all that has to happen is the malacha has to occur. It doesn't have to occur on Shabbos. According to Mechaz Chinuch, of course the malacha has to occur on Shabbos. And Zareya is the Yetziv in a klal because Zareya is impossible for us to occur on Shabbos. So for Shteitzach, Zareya is different. And once it's different, then we have to redefine Zareya saying that it's the Etzem putting the seed in, or Bazoi, then pulling it out of 154 is not going to help you. So we have a running machlokes, a Gedali, a Gedali, a Charenim. It all started with this. It didn't really start with this one. It really started with Bishul and Zareya. It's the verse Rashash, the beginning of the Daf Ayin Gimel, the Lamentas Balochas begin. Rashash starts with this story. They like Tal got into this mix. Everybody, all the Achdala Charenim get involved in the Shaila. But everybody agrees that Kaisiv of the Mordechai, if it's true, that it's closer to the Bishul model. We're just not sure which the Bishul model is closer to. Is it its own cloud, or is it related to the Zareya model? So that was just the other Shirayim left from this. There's one more piece left for this puzzle.
Yeah, for the writing of the wet ink, the Rashash say that you can even scratch, like wipe it away.
Yeah.
That would not violate Mochek.
Well, according to the Mordechai, it wasn't Kosev yet, so it's not Kosev, it ain't Mochek. According to the other Rishon, never heard of this Mordechai, you're in violation of this Adirai Sa Mochek. So, probably not such a good idea. It was Suffolk Kosev of Mochek.
The famous Rashash who said it's Sias Malacha. So why would it make a difference whether a person takes it out before Shabbos over, or whether he left it,
Because you only sell him a freya. That means once the malacha reaches fruition, then I sell him a freya, it goes back to me. But it never reached fruition, so the malacha never happens. So I said, there's one last akud in the sugya. And that's an observation of one of the gedolei Rishonim, the Sefer Yoreim. I don't know if you have put it on the mark. I think I just figured it was the 19th of my malacha already. It's been a long sugya, huh? The Hilchos Sefer Yoreim, Talmud from Rabbeinu Tam, Belaz Mimitz. Belaz Mimitz has a startling statement about the Mishnah B'Sefer Shabbos, which is the parallel Mishnah to Gittin that's going to impact greatly on Gittin Daf Yetes. Okay, we're learning Gittin Daf Yetes. Everything we've been learning on Shabbos is just a sidetrack, just to understand Gittin Daf Yetes better. But we learned Shabbos, so we basically learned all of Gittin, and then we just carried over to Shabbos. Now we're learning Shabbos at the Gittin. It's the same sugya. Says Belaz Mimitz, there's no question if a guy writes with red ink, green ink, purple ink, as long as it's Shel Kayama, Yechayev. I mean, the mission is, come on, the mission, both Mishnahs. Of course, Yechayev. It says in Belaz Mimitz, what color do you think they used in the Mishkan? They wrote in the Mishkan, the crusher, to keep track of the boards. So they wrote. What colors do you think they used? Just in case you were interested historically. Do you think they went to their box of 64 Crayola crayons and different colored inks and magic markers and, you know, I want to write green today and next week we'll write pink and purple. Come on, please. What's the easiest, simplest? Black. So I have no question that they wrote black in the Mishkan. Aye, but the Mishnah says, I say, b'sitra, b'sam, b'diluk, b'schayev. It wasn't the Mishkan. So, everything we do is exactly like the Mishkan. I understand. When the Mishkan, so what did they cook? They cooked some amonim. Did they barbecue hamburgers? Grill hot dogs in the Mishkan? So why am I chayev? Because in order to be chayev, you don't have to be exactly like the Mishkan. We have a concept called avos and what? And toldos. So toldos are things that are not quite 100% Mishkan. We're the line of demarcations. What makes something into a tolda, not an av, is a three-way machlokes of Rishonim. Very complicated machlokes of Rishonim in 2 days. And Tosfos and two Rishonim and Tosfos and Rambam. There's a lot to say, but not for now. In the end, we're not quite sure what in the world the difference is anyway. Tosfos is not even sure there's any real nafkaminim between Avos and Toldos L'maisa, but another time, another place, but we'll get to Pesach Shabbos one of these years. But the Sefer Yoreim has the following comment. He says, if you wonder what the Av Malacha is, just in case you're interested academically, which is the Av Malacha, the Av Malacha is only black ink. Red, green, purple, and orange, and magenta are only, I didn't say the Rabbanan, the only what? The only Toldos. My nafkamina, Yechayev Skila, Yechayev Karis, Yechayev Chatas, nafkamina, very, very, almost minuscule nafkamina of any. But you should just know academically, if you're learning Chashabbos properly, you should know what's an Av, what's a Toldos, as the Sefer Yoreim. Adkan. No? Anyone has any thoughts on the matter? So, why is green, purple, red? Kitten. What's going on? What does that mean? So, Jeremy's saying, what do you mean? What does that have to do with Mishkan? Right? I know you can answer my question. That's what I'm about to answer. But the Sefer Yoreim basically just told us is that when we discuss something being a tolda, to be very, very careful. Because Lamates Melachos that made up the Mishkan, and here's the list. Zereya, Chayresh, depending whether you count Chayresh or Zereya first, Kaitse, Ma'amer, Dosh, Kaitse, Boine, Malabe, Bishful. So, if it's called that Maisa of Kesev, it was Nimsin B'Shemen, the Shem Kesev is part of the Etzim Shem HaMalocha. If you looked in Halachapedia and it says Kesev means the following, that's enough. The only time something qualifies as a told of, it starts to veer away from the basic definition, but it's similar to the definition. So it's not quite the Kesev of old, but it's close enough. Again, depending on different sheets of Rishonim, how do you define the terms close enough? But if it falls into the basic word definition, that's going to be enough. So by the Sefer Yoreim telling us that red ink is not an av, what he's basically telling me is what? That the word kosev in pure halachic terminology has a very, very specific color in mind. What is it? Black. That is the kaisev ha'amah b'chol ha'terek kula. Black. Ay, ha'kaisev b'chol b'shar k'sovim, b'shar tzvoim is chayav. That's because the parish have told us. So I understand. We're learning it now, Dafyutes. The Mishnah says you can write again another colors also. If you really believe the chos of law sefer krisos, it has to be a maisa kesev. And if the Sefer Yoreim is right, that red ink is not the kesev muva Torah, when you present the get to your wife in red and purple and green ink, there's no ksiva here. There's a tolda to ksiva. This is tolda to you, nishkin ksiva. What is the Sefer Yoreim telling us about? He said, an unbelievable chiddush. That the sugyas have told us, ka'avis, the fact that we equate other actions that are not quite on par with the original Torah halachic definition, that concept in halacha of extending definitions from avos to tovos, we can see this is not what the meaning of the word is, but it's close enough. Close enough, that model of tovos ke'avos is not something that's what, but something that's what? Fill in the wants. This is not exclusive for Shabbos. This is true in Kol Torah Kula. This is a concept that permeates Kol Torah Kula. That notion of toldus kavus. It's chlor for the ring. I didn't say anything. I read you a uranium in Hilchos Shabbos. I read a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. If uranium tells you that red ink is nisht av, that means that's not the case of Rav Torah. The Afal Pichay that meets the mark in Maseches Gittin, Zav and Fendo, you see from here, that told us a Kavis in other areas of Allah as well. Rabbi said that is a loaded, loaded, loaded statement, because that is actually a Machlekes HaRishayim. Anyone know? It's a Machlekes, a Taisid in Bechayris, against Ashidu Kumetzis, and the name of the Mari Katz in Baba Kala. Fairish Machlekes HaRishayim. What's the machlekes? Where machlekes? What machlekes? Who, what, where, what's flying? So there is a sugya in Masechet Becheres in the third parak. The Gemara is discussing gozes. Gozes is what a lot of us love. It's called shearing wool. So there happen to be two different areas of halacha where shearing wool is important. One is to violate gozes. What's the other area? It's good. I wasn't thinking of that. The third one? Losa goes bechor tzenecha. Not allowed to be gozes kachin. Losa goes bechor tzenecha. So the Gemara is having a very, very lumdish, intricate discussion, mamash, a lot, lumdish, being a third parak of Bechairis, about what is called the Maisa Geizis, what's not called the Maisa Geizis. And at one stage of the Gemara differentiates between a certain activity that may qualify as Geizis to be Chayiv in Shabbos and not in Bechairis. That's the context of that line. So on the spot is Chavav, I'm not mistaken, the Tais is in the third parak of Bechairis, the Tais on the spot, the Tais throws down a penalty mark and says, wait, let's say that. You're chayef for Shabbos, so it's gezes. You're not chayef for Bechor, make up your mind. You're gezes, nish gezes. You know what Taisa says? That particular action, whatever it is, it's been done with your hands, it's not with a clipper, it's not with a sword, whatever, it doesn't matter right now. What kind of a gezes is that, says Taisa? It's a what? That's not the gezes of Torah. The official halachic chapinia definition is not this action, but it's doing the same thing. It's the same result, same basic tzura. It's an extension. And therefore, vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos, what do we say? Told us oat kavus, but legabi kol Torah Kula told us not kavus. Ferish Tais Mecheres. What's the rationale? Where did Tais dig that up from? Very, very simple cheshbon. Tais says, how do you know told us kavus? The Torah says don't write on Shabbos. The Torah says don't cook on Shabbos. The Torah says don't shear on Shabbos. How do you know to start extending it to other things? Who gave you the right to extend what the Torah says? How do you know they're told us they're also on Shabbos? You know what the Gemara says on Shabbos? Where's the pasuk? For also me'achas mehena, heina mehena ovus kados mikan shenisravel told us kavus. So why is that? There's a cause out of nowhere that mikan shenisravel. That's the base of 157 blavas of Shabbos. They told us kavus. Says Taisus, hech dechitcha chitcha lo chitcha lo chitcha. If the pasuk is mechadish does told us kavus in Shabbos, that means they didn't prati in Shabbos. There is no such concept out of Shabbos, and that explains that discrepancy. Why there's a certain action that falls short of being a ma'aseh gozeis, or told the gozeis it is Shabbos is dubis chayev, becher is dubis potter. That's Taisus' presentation. But in contrast to Taisus, as the Shit Mekubet says, and that beis of Maseches Bava Kama of all places, what does the Mishnah say? How does Bava Kama start out with? Abavus tzikin. And what does the Gemara say immediately on that word? Avos Mechaldis told us. And the Gemara says, what's the din if an animal is mazik in such a way that's not what describes the Chumash? It's not the animal goring, it's the animal kicking, the animal biting. Do you know what the Gemara says? Yechayev also. You know why? Because told that the Karen is Kikaren. Anyone learned Bava Kama Debeis? Told us. Frek the Shit Bukubet says, and then have the Mari Katz. We don't know much about it, except there was a claim. Says the Mari Katz, the following. Says, I don't understand. How did the Gemara know that told us Kavus? The Torah says Ki Yigach Shor. How did the Gemara know that Ki? How did the Gemara know that Ki Yivot? How did the Gemara know that Ki Yishach? How did the Gemara know any of this stuff? The Torah says Yechayef Eish. How did you know that if you put a package on the roof and the wind comes and blows it down, Yechayef Eish? The Torah says you dig a bore. How do you know if I leave a banana peel and somebody falls on it? How did the first 50 blad above a comma are all told us Kavus? How did the Gemara know any of this? Not a word in the Gemara. The word says Tanur Rabbanan, told the Keren Keren, told the Shein Keshein, told the Red Kerekel, told the Ish Keish. The first five lines of the Kabbalah spell out all the Talmud's skills. Where did any of this come from? Says the Marakatz, it's Mufan Meyemov. It's a Svar Pshut Admoi. The Torah is going to talk about every single case. The Torah is going to say an animal biting and an animal kicking and an animal. Ain't never safe. We'll never finish laning. Pash Mishpat is as long as it is. So the Torah gives you one illustration, and anything that's close enough, Medal Muslims, that's part of the Mishnah Dan in Rosh. If it's close enough for comfort, it's close enough. So Frek the Marakatz, if I'm right, I told us a Kavas is a Svar Pshuta. What's the Kasha? Why does what? What's the Kasha? What's Marakatz's Kasha? What's his next Kasha himself? If I'm telling you that Tovus Kavas is a Milsa Pshita Admoid, I don't need a Pasuk for it. So why do we need a Pasuk by Shabbos? You know what the Marakatz says? By Shabbos, I would have said Tovus and Akavas. You know why? I would have had a Gevaldika Svara. Put the Svara to say Tovus and Akavas. You know why? There's a one magic word. What's the magic word? Mishkan. Everything stops and starts with Mishkan. I would have had a crazy, wild, incorrect Havamina that Shabbos is different. Shabbos is the Yitzim in a cloud. Kamash Balon, that Shabbos is no worse than anything else. No different than anything else. But all other areas of Halacha, I don't even need a Pesuk. It's Milsa Pshita Admoi. So you have Machlokes, but a Kotz and a Kotz between the Taisos and the Marakatz. We have no idea, by the way, what Taisos does with Marakatz's Kashma of Kama. Not a clue. You have the Nays. It works and works and works. We're not sure what the answer to that question is. Not for now. But the machlokes Tais and the Marakatz is a basic fundamental machlokes. Is the starting point in Kolotar Kula Tolus Kavus, or the starting point not of Tolus Kavus? According to Tais, the starting point is Tolus Kavus. We are very, very strict interpretations of the Constitution. Right, Mr. Alter, right? Some people read the Constitution. There's a fundamental machlokes. Wasn't that the major machlokes? Thomas Jefferson and Hamilton, wasn't that the major machlokes? State the Zoy in the Constitution. Do we assume that the words mean exactly what they mean, nothing more, nothing less? What? The strict, literally, what do we say about it? The founding fathers, they were good guys, but they couldn't put everything in the Constitution. As it was, otherwise. In the Davasoif, it took them 10 years to draft the Constitution, it took another 50 years to every single case. So it's move on the Elab. There are going to be cases that are Medam Milson Milson. Wasn't that like the root of a major machlokes?
Yeah, it's
what?
It's
Tubler, yeah. Also, that's what Havel of Nos, the same thing. That's machlokes Taisa Mecharis and Shitma Kubetsis. The Torah talks about goring, the Torah talks about writing, the Torah talks about shearing. So does Mishkan shearing? Does Mishkan shearing? You want to be Marba told us? It exists across the Bin Shabbos. Other areas, Lach doesn't exist. But according to Shem Gubetzis, the starting point is Avada told us like others. Nurabaisai, anyone want to tell me where the Sefer Reim weighs in on this topic? Ever got any ideas? I told you already. The Sefer Reim says in Hilchos Shabbos, writing with red ink is what? It's a tolda. If it's a tolda, what's it doing in Gittin, Daf Yotes, of an Aleph? According to Tosfos, Toldos don't belong in Gittin. They don't belong in other areas of Halacha. It is clear as day that the Sefer Reim sided with that Barikatz, Hashem Kubetz and Kama. That Toldos are Kamas. What would Tosfos say about this topic? Tosfos would say, who says red ink is a Toldos? Who said that's a Toldos? That's an Av. That is Kaisiv. Who said the color determines whether it's an Av or a Toldos? So that Machloikis, Harishayna, between the Tosfos and Becheris, Hashem Kubetz, is getting impacted by Gittin. I told you I learned Gittin Daf Yotes. When you cannot learn Gittin Daf Yotes unless you look at it through the eyes of the Tais and Bechairis, that should be the Bavakama. So Bavakama, Bechairis, Gittin, and Shabbos. Now the four Masechtas are all connecting together. A fundamental question, are we literalists or not literalists? How do we look at the words of the Torah Kedesha? Do we say, this is it, no more? Or do we say, this is it plus whatever looks like it's close enough for comfort? Two very, very different approaches, and there's no question about it, Sefer Reim, bought into this. I'll leave one riddle for tomorrow. It'll take us hopefully 2 minutes tomorrow, maybe an hour, depending on how long we want to make out of it tomorrow. The last point of the Shir. If anyone was in the Shir in Chulin, I want you to think about by tomorrow a raya that we are correct in our analysis of the Sefer Reim. That the Sefer Reim is Taka L'Shitasai. There's something else that the Sefer Reim taught us back in Chulin days that will clearly put the Sefer Reim in exactly where we think he belongs. I'll give you a hint, it has something to do with Bishul. Okay? Maybe another time, another place. All right? That's it. Okay. So, remind me tomorrow to finish this up. And guys, get stuck. The next thing, we gotta get moving, guys. Gotta get moving.